Our sermon text is found in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. We're finishing up chapter 10, so we're going to deal with verses 46 through the end of the chapter, 52. The title of the sermon today is Jesus, Son of David, Have Mercy on Me. Let us hear God's word. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And may the Lord add his blessing to our hearing and receiving his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would bless the preaching now of your word and for all here to be attentive, to seek to apply your truths to their lives. We pray for the presence of your spirit and for the furthering of faith to those who believe in you and for the gift of faith for those who have not yet placed their trust in your Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, bless, Lord, your worship and the preaching of the word and the hearing of it, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord is once again using one man in this account to emphasize the importance of persevering and calling out to Christ for blessing, for healing. And we will see in our account here that this is a illustration or a metaphor of the need for salvation for those who are spiritually blind and in need of that healing that only comes from our God. And so as we get to the matter before us. First point I want to emphasize is noticing your own need. Noticing your own need. It may be fair to say everyone has an emptiness in their soul before they come to faith. And sometimes even coming to faith, you might struggle with what may appear to be an emptiness or a lack of satisfaction. Indeed, the people of the world will say this void in us, we need to find out what is our purpose in life or what is our calling and work or where to find our happiness. And indeed, there is a place to emphasize callings and happiness, but we must find God first. We must know God first, and we must follow God always. And so here we have a man, Bartimaeus. His name really literally means son of Timaeus. In the Matthew account, in Matthew 20, it talks about two blind men without any names. And so many have kind of speculated that the father of Bartimaeus was perhaps a beggar as well, perhaps with him. and maybe blind just like his son. We don't know for certain who this other person was in Matthew's account, but here only Bartimaeus is mentioned because he is the subject of the healing in this account. In the other account, you know, he's probably speaking on behalf of the other as well. But he is a beggar by occupation. And in the ancient world, if you were blind, they didn't have schools for the blind. They didn't have special industries for the handicapped. If you were severely handicapped, you were hindered from normal work. And so begging is how you would get by unless your family was wealthy. You know, some commentaries commend Bartimaeus for begging, for he's pursuing a calling of some sort. He's seeking to provide. But obviously, when we think of beggars, I think rightly we think of somebody in extreme need, somebody in a dire situation. And we struggle with how to deal with beggars in this nation of ours, because often we don't know if they are sincere. That's a kind of a sad place to be, or sometimes we're in such a hurry in our daily activities that we do not want to be stopped by a beggar and be embarrassed to say no, or perhaps we don't have cash on hand, or whatever the reason, we tend to avoid you know, the eye contact with a beggar, much more the conversation with one. But we'll see how Jesus is most passionate. The Lord Jesus is leaving Jericho, where he was doing some ministry. He is leaving the city gates, and he's on the road that will take him to Jerusalem. And this is right before he will enter Jerusalem for the Passover feast, be betrayed and tried, and he will be killed. And so this is a very important time. And you know, with the life of Jesus, everything was on a schedule. You know, he is the Passover lamb. He had to be in Jerusalem at a certain time, and yet he will make time for this beggar here. And so we must always be mindful, even when Jesus was going to a man's insistence to go to his home to heal his dying daughter, that he stopped to deal with the healing of a woman who was not at the point of death. And this should underscore the important fact that the ruler of the universe, the Savior, takes time for the individual. He'll take time for you. He's never too busy for your need, for your cry for help. God does respond faithfully and with love and compassion. And so Jesus is that great interceder for sinners. And so when you bring your requests and prayer to the Father, Jesus himself listens to your needs. He is the high priest. He is the priest who hears your prayers. And he'll make intercession for your prayers, just like the Holy Spirit. He knows of your needs before you express them, because he is a sovereign God. But in our account, it appears that Jesus kind of ignores this Bartimaeus when he's calling out pretty loudly to the Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so there is a lesson here. You may have experienced times where you've called out to the Lord seeking for relief of whatever, and nothing happens. Seems like God is not listening. God is not responding. And so what do you do in that situation? Oh, do what Bartimaeus does. He cries out again. You know, at the beginning of Psalm 40, it talks about, it begins with, you know, at length I cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord listened and heard my cry and my plead. And so the Lord sometimes, in his wisdom, wants you to pray for a season, maybe a long season, for something heavy upon your heart or some desperate need. And this is, remember, to be a part of your worship of God. The Lord is not your counselor like you would have a secular counselor. You have a 1 o'clock appointment on Tuesday, and you got 1 hour to share your burden and to get whatever advice. You're to call upon the Lord in the morning and in the day and at night. And indeed, the Lord wants us to pray with earnest desire. He wants us to empty ourselves of any high thought about ourselves, of any self-righteousness. When sinners come in brokenness, they are the most attractive for the Lord. We don't think it's attractive, not for ourselves. But the Lord does. Because you honor the Lord rightly when you are desperate. When you have nothing to offer, nothing to bargain with, nothing to perhaps bribe God with in your mind. So the Savior wants your brokenness. He wants you to see your sickness and your need for the physician of your souls. We must always acknowledge his graciousness and bowing his ear to even hear us, to even consider our need. Indeed, of our supplications. Now, the Lord is not obliged to show favor in any certain way or favor at all to his creation, for he is the most sovereign. But we do have great encouragement to bring our petitions to the Lord daily and frequently in the day, for the scripture does reveal the nature of the person of our God, whether it be of the Father or the Son or of the Holy Spirit. He never tires of our prayers. Now, brothers and sisters, let's be honest, you might get tired of hearing the same prayer request from another brother and sister. And certainly we have been tired of praying the same prayer for some issue that is heavy upon us. But the Lord does not tire of your prayers. He is most holy. And so he does not have that frailty. He does not have that sin nature that gets annoyed at prayer. And so we must always remember we can come to our gracious God, for he is a gracious God and abundant in mercy. But we must remember we are to be like Bartimaeus, beggars. Here, you know, beggars, if they're good beggars, they're going to be persistent. Now, if you're the one who the beggar is approaching, you might, again, be annoyed by that persistence. But it is needful for them to be persistent, to ask for help, to express their need again and again before the one who they are seeking help from. And so, yes, are we all called to work? We indeed are. But regardless of what occupation you have, regardless of what position or pay you get, it is the Lord who provides. Yes, you are commanded to work, but it's the Lord who provides your health, who provides your paycheck, your home. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Yes, you might earn your pay from your company But it is the Lord who is gracious to give you whatever you do have. And so we need to model this approach of a beggar. We have nothing to offer to our Creator, indeed to our Redeemer. It has been said by many, you do not want what is fair from God. Judgment against you is what is fair. A payment for your sins is what you've earned. You do not want what is fair from God, but mercy is what you want. Mercy is what you need. So we must note that the account records the city. And it's just not to give us a geographical point so we can, you know, track, you know, all the going direction of Jesus' ministry, but it's in the town or the city of Jericho. Again, if you don't read your Old Testament, you have no idea what the significance of the city is. But Jericho is introduced to us, in I believe Joshua 2, and it is a cursed city. It was originally a city of the Canaanites. It was the first city in the land of Canaan that Israel came to. And remember, they were commanded by God to say nothing, but having their caravan walk around the city 7 times. And they did this for days. And then at the end, they were to blow the trumpets. And then the walls miraculously fell down, and then they were to attack and to destroy. And so this is a city that belonged to the Canaanites. It was to be destroyed because the people, in God's eyes, were very wicked. And it was their judgment, but also it was a land that was to be occupied. But the city was to be destroyed. Although, even in the midst of that command, there's God's mercy that is shown, because there's one woman of faith, Rahab, the harlot, who is shown mercy by Israel, for she aligned herself with the God of Israel. She and her family were rescued from the destruction. And so is a wonderful picture of God's saving grace that will be manifested to a far greater extent to the Gentiles. But also that our God, who is a Savior to the wicked, to the cursed, to the condemned. And so later, hundreds of years later, there was this city rebuilt, but it was against the command of God, because the city was not meant to be rebuilt. In Joshua 6:26, Joshua, given this charge by the Lord, says, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." Now, another man of that city has indeed built that city. So in the days of Jesus, the city is there again. It's been standing for a while. And we have a man who is begging outside of that city. And brothers and sisters, let's face the reality. You and I are part of a cursed city. Just like the beginning of the Pilgrim's Progress, you have that character Christian. He's reading the book and he discovers that he is a cursed man in a cursed city. We all live in a sinful world, and yes, we are all by our nature sinners. And sinners will face a righteous God, and therefore there is a need for judgment to come. All is in rebellion against God. And here we have Bartimaeus, a man who is physically blind. But in our sin, you and I are spiritually blind. to our need of healing, our need of a Christ, our need for salvation. If we do not perceive our need for Christ sometime in our life, we remain blind to the precious things of God. And so every person has that need for that spiritual healing. But even in this dreadful situation, there is hope in Christ. It said in Matthew 12:20, a bruised reed, he, referring to Christ, will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench till he sends forth justice to victory. So what is that sending of justice to victory? Well, you can understand if you put Christ in there. He satisfied justice for the sinner and becoming sin for them. And he gives the victory in overcoming sin and death through his resurrection. And so brings us to our second point of calling out in the midst of opposition. Now, it seems a man seeking healing should have a pretty straightforward approach in how to simply ask for healing. But this man, Bartimaeus, faces opposition. He faces opposition to the grace that he sought as he cries out to Jesus. First, Jesus does not respond. He doesn't cry out to Jesus and Jesus turns around and starts to engage him. But it seems like Jesus is kind of ignoring him at first. But this man has faith. This man is looking at Jesus not as a mere man, not even as a prophet who heals. Indeed, he was at least that. But he sees him further and rightly through the lenses of the eyes of faith as the Messiah. And therefore, he gives him the messianic title, Son of David. He recognizes him as the one who is promised through the covenant promises. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so this is a plea, but we can also see it as a prayer to his Savior. Now, those around him perhaps felt embarrassed. We don't know. It's not given why people around him are saying, shh, quiet. Don't do that. Shut up. Don't call upon him. Or don't give him that title. Now, we don't know exactly why. But brothers and sisters, you know exactly why the world wants you to be quiet about calling upon Jesus as the Son of David, or Jesus, my Lord, or calling upon God for mercy. Bartimaeus was determined to find his Christ and to receive blessing from his Savior. And I'm here to tell you today, do not allow anyone to dissuade you from seeking the Lord at any time, anywhere, about anything. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated by the world, the people of the world, those who are close to you. The Lord your God is first in your life. Everyone else is secondary. Foolish are those who discourage and rebuke the seekers seeking salvation or blessing from the Lord, and who do not want this man Bartimaeus to follow Jesus. We know in this world that they will say of Christians, of the Christian faith, that it is too narrow. Well, Jesus said, as broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the road to everlasting life. They say it is too restrictive. Well, we do have commandments that forbid certain conduct, whether of the mind, heart, or of the body. is to restrict us away from the activities of evil and of sin. See, the world wants you to keep in their company in their sin. You always have a friend in another sinner. They do not want sinners to leave their company. Neither does the devil want any to leave his kingdom. They do not want you to call upon or rely upon the Holy One of Israel. So when people oppose you and seek to hinder your faith in Christ Jesus, and do not want you to fully follow him, maybe partially, as long as it's not too much. They do not want you to share your convictions. They don't want necessarily to hear your praise of God. And here, no one else around is calling upon the Lord Jesus as Son of David. Seems to be the first time we've encountered it in the Gospel of Mark, and we're towards the end. Now, they might refer to it, this is that Jesus of Nazareth. This is the son of the carpenter. Or they might say he is a prophet. But to give him the right title of Messiah or the Christ, only those of faith would do that. So, Bartimaeus calls him the son of David, recognizing he is the fulfillment of the promises of God. He is the deliverer of all who confess their brokenness before him. Bartimaeus is coming to Jesus by crying out to him and glorifying him as he does that, simultaneously honoring him with that title, Son of David, a messianic title. And you know that we live in a culture that was very much Christian in many respects, but now we're post-Christian, and so we still might have people who recognize Jesus as the great humanitarian. He's the social worker of social worker. He's the captain of our social justice movement. But not a savior, not a God to be worshipped. To say that he is God in the flesh is to be irrational, be unscientific. It's frowned upon, it's ridiculed. And every attempt is made in government powers, corporate powers, education powers, and the culture in general to stop you from declaring clearly your allegiance to Christ. It's bad for business. It's offensive to others. Yes, it will always be offensive to others. We don't do it to offend others, but we do it to honor one, glorify our God, the Father, the Son, as well as the Holy Spirit. So Bartimaeus was wise not to listen to those around him, not to consider their displeasure, but to be singular in his focus upon his God, his Savior, and his need for him. And so he comes in humility. He had his misery of blindness. He sought relief for that. And of course, what is your misery? What is your burden? I mentioned sin because that's the greatest of the burdens. We do all have physical burdens, emotional burdens. They come and go. They develop. Either way, we go to our Savior for help. If you don't deal with the sin problem, all the other problems are always minor. It brings us to the third point, following through with following Christ. So I notice the passage talks about he cast off his garment. Why is that? Well, his cloak. That cloak is like a jacket of sorts, but also would double as a blanket. It's what someone would sleep in. It'd be most valuable piece of clothing. And as one commentator pointed out, you know, as he cast it off and he ran to Jesus, he probably never saw that cloak again, because someone else is going to grab it and take it. But this man is casting this cloak off. It would be a very heavy garment, probably made of wool. It was some hindrance to him. What does it say in Hebrews 12:11? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so, as I mentioned, this cloak is a very valuable piece of clothing. He's sitting there, he's trying to get up, it's heavy, he throws it off to run to his Savior. And so, indeed, are we just talking about a piece of clothing? Well, I think what it illustrates, what's the impediment that is hindering you from coming to Christ, from going to Christ? You know, I speak to you Christians as well. Because a lot of times, as Christians, we have issues. We have problems. We have a besetting sin, and we're not dealing with it. We're complaining about it. We have this inward wrestle, but we're not going to Christ fully for forgiveness or the grace, to get the grace for real repentance. We all have something hindering us. And so, what is hindering you? Is it a friend's approval that you might lose out upon? Is it your standing at work? Or is it the objections of your family or your favorite sin that you don't want to give up? What is hindering you to go to your Savior at any time? What is slowing you down? Cast it off. Move it to the side. Do not delay for a moment. Now it says, you know, there are people. Again, they don't identify the people who were discouraging him. We looked at that as part of the world. But then there's another group of people. And this must be the disciples who are coming to Bartimaeus because Jesus has said, bring him here. Bring him to me. Have him come. And they say, take good cheer. The Master calls you. And so when you are witnessing to somebody, if they are truly broken, they know they need forgiveness of sin. They need the power of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And encourage them. The Savior has called you through His Word. It applies to you. He is ready to receive you. Go. Go to Him. Pray to Him. Seek Him. He's not too busy. He's always there. He's omnipresent. It doesn't matter where you are. Call upon Him and He is there. And His mercies are abundant. And so the Lord Jesus summons Bartimaeus to His presence. You know, in the ancient world, when there is a king who wants to see one of his subjects, he sends somebody from the court. Bring so-and-so to me. And when you hear that summons, maybe it might be a written summons or maybe a verbal one, you don't think, well, let me consider it. I'll get back to him. No, it is your sovereign king. You obey, and you obey quickly without argument, without negotiations. You come because he requires for you to come. And there would be grave circumstances if you would deny that request or summons or command. It's all kind of rolled up into one. But notice that the most gracious words of the great Pontentate, the king of the world, what do you want me to do for you? This is what, in essence, Jesus is saying. Now, Jesus, who is Lord, and Bartimaeus recognizes him as such, Jesus is saying to him, how can I serve you, son? I the great king? I the creator of the heavens and the earth? I who is your creator? I who am your Lord and your Savior? How can I serve you? What a gracious God. What a loving God. What a humble Savior we have. Understand, we are not to take for granted our God, but we can go to Him often, repeatedly. There's not too many times. We don't come to Him enough. We understand that. And so you say, how can I serve you, son? What good can I bestow upon you today? Jesus knew he was blind. Jesus knew of his burden. Jesus knew of all that was in his heart. So why does he ask? Because he delights to ask and to hear. God wants you to pray. And this is one thing that we lack to do as American Christians. We don't pray enough, do we? Lately, I've been encouraging many people to keep a prayer journal. Keep track of how many times you do pray. What do you pray about? And how God answers those prayers. So Bartimaeus shares the burden of his blindness. And like I said at the beginning, how great of a burden. He can't work. He has to wait for little coins to be put in his cup. And many days are probably very, very little. And so he prays for healing from the affliction. And then notice the words at the very end in verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So due to this man's faith, he already had faith. He already had saving faith in the Lord Jesus. But due to his faith, Jesus says, I am healing you. He's healed of his blindness instantly. Now, Jesus doesn't always heal somebody based on their faith, because there's many people he heals who do not have faith. And some come to faith in response to that healing, and some, many, don't respond in that way. Don't worship him. Don't have faith in him. But Jesus heals this servant of his. He acknowledges this man's faith and highlights it. And so, for us, when we go to the Lord, let us have faith in him. Let us trust that he will do good, even if the answer is silence to us, or perhaps no, or at least no for now. But he will give us what we need. And so we are to put forth our devotions and our petitions. You should not just have petitions. Lord, give me this, give me that. You know, it's like, you know, you're going to a fast food place. Okay, you're looking at the menu. I want this, 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 and this. You know, and you know, leave off that. We are to worship the Lord as we bring our supplications to him. Prayer is not a grocery list. Prayer is worship. So you worship, you adore your God, you exalt your God, you speak of his works as you remind yourself of his faithfulness and of his power. You confess your sins and you believe that he does forgive, and you bring your supplications. It's just not supplications. Give, give, give. I want and I need it now. So Jesus, in his miraculous healing of this blind man, highlights the prophecy concerning him. Again, the physical blindness, as I mentioned earlier, is a metaphor for our spiritual blindness. Bartimaeus is a man who had faith, but he had a physical affliction. But we all are in need of spiritual healing. So let me share several passages that highlight that in Isaiah 42, verse 6 through 8. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. So who is he speaking of? He's speaking of Christ, giving of his son. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison. And remember, Jesus didn't free any prisoners, physically speaking. So you have to see this all spiritually. Those who sit in darkness from the prison house, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And then Paul, as part of his commission from the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's recounting that conversion experience during his trial in Acts 26 and verses 16 through 18, says, quoting the words of Jesus, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of all the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes," or to heal their blindness, in other words, "in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So what happens to this man Bartimaeus after he's healed is very rare, as it shows in verse 52. Bartimaeus wants to follow Jesus. Now, we've seen this often happen. Someone is miraculously healed. They have faith, and they want to follow Jesus, and Jesus often forbids that. Sometimes he tells them, you must go and show yourself to the priest according to the law of Moses. You know, you would say this to a leper. Or, you know, tell no one about these things. Or go back to your town. But Jesus is at the last leg of his ministry. He has probably less than a week left in his earthly life. And so there's no reason to hide this miracle, but it can be known. And so Jesus lets Bartimaeus to accompany him from Jericho to Jerusalem. We don't know what he does in Jerusalem because he's not the central figure. Christ is. This man who's healed has this special privilege to accompany his Savior on that journey and to accompany him into that city where he will fulfill all the promises of redemption and of salvation by Christ being the Lamb of God, which was slain for sinners. And so this man, as he comes with Jesus and the disciples into Jerusalem, he is in a walking epistle of God's gracious work in his ministry. He's there side by side with Jesus. And how sweet that company must have been to have that discourse with the Savior. Speak of his glory and of his works and of his promises, and to just delight in the actual physical company of the Savior. And brothers and sisters, this is what we long for. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of what you want to accomplish in this life, your greater desire is to be in the presence of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, to talk directly, to look Jesus in the eyes, to hear his voice, to hear of his wisdom, and to delight and worship him forever and ever. And so may we take from this account encouragement to approach our Lord at all times for all of our needs, but also to be encouraged to share the wonders of his work and of his graciousness with others. And let us not be hindered. See, the world seeks to hinder you. They actually physically can't hinder you. Now, you could be arrested and put in jail, and so you physically can't come into this building. That might be true. But you cannot be hindered from worshiping the Lord, and indeed never can be hindered from praying to the Lord. And so let us show ourselves in our faithfulness to him by always acknowledging who Christ is and our need of him and what he has done for us. And if you're in need of that gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sins, you cannot obtain it on your own. You must simply go to the Lord in prayer. Simple, humble, dependent prayer upon him. And so may you be encouraged to do that. And may we, in the end, glorify our God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would bless your people. Bless your people to glorify our great and mighty God. Bless us to honor you, to praise you, to speak of your works in our lives and throughout history. And that Jesus comes for the sinner. He's the physician not to heal the righteous, but the sinner from their plague of sin and guilt. And so we rejoice that he has accomplished that work of redemption on the cross, overcome sin and death itself in the resurrection. And so we pray that we would be bold for him and also bold in coming to your throne of grace in time of need. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful to you, we pray, for you are always faithful to us. As we acknowledge in Jesus Christ. Amen.